Hey everybody, welcome back. It is Super Bowl Sunday, and that means it's time to talk about Star Wars. Welcome back to episode 10 of the Tumbling Saber podcast. I don't know, but what do you think, Corey? Is episode 10, is a 10th episode a milestone?
Yeah, pretty much. It's got a big X on it.
It does. It is denoted with an X, so I suppose this is the first Tumbling Saber milestone aside from the first episode. Hey, glad to have you here. The voice you hear over there on my right is Corey. You've heard him here before. In episode 6, about a month ago or so, we talked about the Rebels mid-season trailer. And Corey is back here in the basement studio to talk about whatever seems to want to come up in this newest episode. Corey, how you doing?
Not too bad. It's nice to be here tonight. Your wife made some awesome Super Bowl snacks and stuff, and yeah, it's just it's nice to be in the studio.
The basement studios, welcome to all. And yes, we did. We had a few Super Bowl finger foods, made a mess of the house along with the kids, and now everybody's been shuffled off to bed, and we're left here to do what we do on a Sunday night. Let's do what we regularly do, which is kick sports around a little bit. And we've got the Super Bowl here on the background. And I'm not sure how many people in the audience here are listening to this, watching the Super Bowl or listening. It's been a weird one. It's been a turnover-laden affair. I'm not sure if that's what people were predicting, but this one seems like it's going to come right down to the end, and the team that's going to make the least amount of mistakes is probably going to win, which is probably a cliche, but in this case, looks like it's going to be true. And there's a shot of Peyton Manning looking like he's going to puke. He does not look too comfortable right about now. But this does look like it will be Peyton's last game. So I'm pulling for him, and I hope he pulls out that second Super Bowl ring. He doesn't deserve the grief he gets. I think people forget kind of how spectacular he's been throughout his career.
Yeah, it's true, Kyle. I mean, I'm not a big
not the biggest football guy.
No, I have to say tonight's game I'm really entertained. Like it's the kind of game you're looking for. I'm kind of rooting for Peyton as well, but I was expecting Carolina to really almost steamroll them tonight.
Well, I expected that Carolina offense to do a bit more. Now, let's not forget Denver's got this ridiculous defense that might be as good as you and I have ever really seen in our life outside of the 85 Bears. Now, when I say 85 Bears, what comes to your mind?
The shuffle?
For most people, the shuffle ought to be the appropriate response. For you and I, for me anyway, the 85 Bears brings to mind that old computer game that we had on Dad's. It was a 186 or maybe a 286. Do you remember that game?
Yeah, with the X's and the O's.
Yeah, it was. I hope people know what I'm talking about here. It was basically a game played with X's and O's where you used your keyboard to select your play. You had your packages and plays within those packages, and you just hit enter, and you'd watch the play unfold sort of on autopilot. It was completely random chance. The computer did what it wanted to do, but man, was that game addictive. And every time it was, I always gravitated right to the 85 Bears because you couldn't lose.
Yeah, I definitely remember that game. I remember playing that game, but to be honest, I don't remember actually, maybe toward the end because we only got our first 486 computer when it was about 15, something like that. And anyhow, yeah, I just remember just pressing random buttons and, not even looking really at what plays I was running. And
no, I was an all or nothing kid, so I looked for the long pass packages all the time, and my defenses were blitz.
Yeah, I pretty much probably worked the same mentality, I'm sure.
Well, we were literally like 9-10 years old playing this game, so I don't know how many genius X's and O's for football kids that there are in this world. Certainly not as many, or certainly more now than there were in the 80s. But yeah, that was the play. The long play and the blitz. That's what you wanted to do, because it was the biggest payoff on either end. And if it didn't work out, well, there was that switch in the back of the computer that you just just kill the whole game. That's it. Never mind just quitting the game. Just turn off the whole computer. Or you'd leave the game and then go play something a little less frustrating like Frogger, which was option B on that computer. or option C, Space Invaders, which was basically Galaga.
Yeah, those two were definitely a little more up my alley.
Yeah, those were good, clean, addictive, fun games. Not like the trash we get in our phones now.
Yeah, invaded on Facebook as well.
Yeah, no offense if that's your thing. And also, hey, worth noting, our Habs, maybe they're pulling another tailspin.
It's possible. I mean, let's pray that Scriven's is going to get hot. And
as Ben Scrivens can possibly get. He was lights out in back-to-back weekend days. This is the first back-to-back wins from the Habs since November, late November. Which is
a really big shock to me, I have to admit. Like, of all sports, you know I like hockey the best, and I do follow the Habs. Not as extensively as you or maybe some of your followers, but I'm definitely a big fan, and it's been a pretty big disappointment, but don't get me wrong, like, I got the teams back. Like, I'm with them. I've always been with them through thick and thin, but it's been disappointing. It's been hard to watch.
It was hard to watch, and then it got fascinating to watch, to see how far down can you go in record, at warp speed.
Yeah, it was a meltdown. And
an unprecedented meltdown.
Which is so odd after the unprecedented beginning of the season they had had.
Yeah, it's been a tale of two seasons, and at first you would think that the 9-0 start would be enough to carry you through, no matter how mediocre you played after that, but nobody accounted for the absolute abysmal play that followed.
Yeah, everyone said, you know, they're all Carey Price, but even at this point, I still don't necessarily believe that. It's just, I really believe they lost their confidence in him. Well, by losing him, they lost their confidence.
Oh, that's no doubt a part of it. It was one thing after the other. They lost him, and then they lost their luck, and then they lost a bunch of other players. Gallagher sat out for a while. It was a bunch of things, and then they just forgot how to win games. And frankly, I don't think the coach helped very well with a lot of his roster choices. But anyway, they've won back-to-back, and we'll see if they pull out of it. I'm not so sure if pulling out of it now and making a run for the playoffs is necessarily the best thing. It might be in their best interest to just sort of let the season go, stock up some draft picks, get rid of some dead weight, reload with a new coach maybe in the offseason, and come back next year. But, you know, they're not going to quit. They're not going to give up. No. They're pro athletes. They're going to go for the playoffs.
Anything can happen at this point. Any other team can, you know, have a few bad games as well.
Well, that's the issue, right? In order to get to the playoffs now, they've fallen down to 12th or 13th place. Not only do you need to start winning immediately, you need the teams in front of you to lose.
Yeah, it'd be disappointing if they put in a really, you know, if they get a winning streak going and then, you know, they lose by like a point or something, not make it.
Well, the worst case scenario is they make a run for the playoffs, but fall a couple points short, finish 9th or 10th in the conference, and then blow their chance at getting a good draft pick. And in doing so and making a run to the playoffs, don't trade away any of their deadwood. That's the worst case scenario.
Well, I wouldn't say one thing that I do remember. It's been a while, which is a good thing. But if anyone out there listening is from Montreal, or the spring, early summer is just not the same when the Habs aren't in the playoffs.
That's true. When it's springtime in Montreal, late April, early May, when the Habs are playing, the city is a different place. That is absolutely true. And
when it's not here, it's like there's something missing.
Although, you know, we got a whole generation of fans now that ought to be used to that feeling, frankly. I mean, the Canadians have not been a good playoff team, aside from, every so often they might make a little run. But really, it's been a long, long time since the Canadians have been a perennial playoff champ. And look at that, another turnover by the Carolina Panthers. Bronco ball. With 4 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. So here's what they do. They try and punch it in with one play. Maybe they give Peyton a chance to pass it in. If not, you drain the clock, you kick a field goal, you go up by 10 points, and you put the rest of the game on your quarterback, or on your defense. There you go. All right, that'll do for the sports talk this weekend. We'll just we'll keep one eye on the game here in the background. And we'll move into the segment that I said I would quit, because there's just no point in it anymore. But a couple of milestones. Not only did we hit a milestone, but The Force Awakens crossed a milestone both domestically and internationally. Domestically, The Force Awakens has now crossed $900 million, and total is now just inching over the $2 billion mark, which is a staggering amount of money to earn in 53 days.
Yeah, it's incredible, Kyle. Like, I was definitely expecting something along these lines, but I know you had said from the beginning that we're not, you know, it's not going to beat Avatar, and I have to say I was one of those hopefuls, and I said, yeah, of course it's going to, you know, but just it's a representation. I think you and James have talked about this, where it's kind of a representation of modern day society in the sense that it's kind of looks like it's burnt up real quick, and you know, it's just came in with a bang, and
well, it took over, right? You know, month of December and most of January was basically all Star Wars all the time. Now we're through that period, and it seems to be fading off now. For now. I mean that really in the most literal sense. It's going to come back really soon.
There's some big movies coming up as well. I mean, Deadpool's coming up and stuff. But I hope it stays in theaters a long time, and I hope they're able to do some re-release stuff like Avatar did. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't think we're going to see that just because there's new movies, new Star Wars movies coming. So there's no time for that, and they don't want to overshadow their own properties.
Yeah, and they don't want to smother people either.
Well, I would say this though: if The Force Awakens were up for any of the big Oscar awards, they would have a push again. They would probably try and get back some theaters and I guess go to a Phase B marketing blitz to try and get asses back in the seats, but you know, it's all technical awards, so they won't. It's gonna fade away. Actually, I went to see the movie again today. It's my fifth time in theater, and the only reason I rushed out to go see it today is because I believe, at least where I am, they're gonna start pulling some screens on weekend on afternoon showings. So it's gonna get to that place where you only have an early evening and late evening show at this point. And that just means it's kind of nearing the end of the line.
Yeah, that's kind of disappointing. But I've seen it twice myself, and I'm definitely planning on going at least two more times. I have to see it.
You better get on that horse. You're running at a racetrack here.
Yeah, I keep talking about it, but I'm definitely planning on going. How much longer do you think it's going to actually stay in theater?
Well, I think it'll be around probably for another month. But don't forget, is today the 5th of February? The 7th of February? Mm-hmm. So in less than 2 months, you can have the DVD or the Blu-ray in your hand.
True.
Or, we're lucky enough in Canada that we're the only country to have the deal in Netflix. So The Force Awakens will be available on Netflix. I'm not sure if they've told us what day it'll be available on Netflix, if it's going to be April 5th, just like the DVD.
That's kind of surprising to me, to be honest. I had heard you talking about that. And
yeah, we are the true North, strong and free. We are getting The Force Awakens on Netflix, and although we shouldn't brag too much about that, because the minute that happens, the minute the DVD releases out, it's going to be available for download on a torrent site. No questions asked.
True.
So, who's the fool here? Someone's going to go pick the movie up for free.
Plus, I hear our Netflix is not as good as...
Oh, no. No, the American Netflix has literally 10 times the choice of the Canadian. But that's all right. That's all right. Let's move on to what is one of the more popular segments here on the show, the Stupid Fan Theory of the Week. And this one we have two. It's a double whammy. But they both revolve around the same character, so if you are standing, try sitting. If you are sitting, try reclining. And if you are reclining, well, you're in a good position because this is a good one. Maybe not quite the doozy that we had last week, but this one is sure to get a chuckle too. But according to the internet, the bastion of all truth, Maz Kanata, the adorable little creature who's in love with Chewie, apparently there's a theory going around that, hey, she's a bad guy.
No. There's no? Definitely in my opinion, no. Who knows? I mean,
I love the internet, though. I mean, God bless free speech, I suppose.
Hey, you know, anything's possible, and like it's all clickbait too. You know, a lot of this stuff.
Well, yes, there is clickbait, and again, it's also just people throwing stuff at the wall and trying to make sure
there's no stone left unturned.
Yeah, or you know, to go so obscure that. If your thing panned out, if your one in a million thing turned out, you're the guy that got it. And you can always go back and say, I'm the guy that 3 years ago said this. And you can show everybody what you said. And everybody goes, yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. As if like picking the winning lotto numbers takes skill, right? Well, but the only thing this theory has any... The only basis for this theory is that both her and Snoke are old. Which we don't even really know if Snoke, how old he actually is.
No, that's true. We have no idea. He looks old.
He looks like he's really, really old.
Or he could just be, well, yeah, he does look kind of rotten.
He looks rotten. He looks like he's probably should have been dead many, many years ago. But he's maybe it's Keith Richards. Maybe Snoke is Keith Richards.
That's awesome.
I don't know. I haven't seen that one. So maybe let's start that hashtag on Twitter. Keith is Snoke.
Yeah, that would take off, I think. You make a nice meme on that.
Although it's probably too believable because Keith Richards is just never going to go. But the only, really, like the only thing that this theory goes on is that, well, they're both old, so they must be buddies. Which, that's the laziest reach I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
In trying to prop a theory up.
It has no basis. It just wouldn't make any sense to me. Like, her character...
No, she was a completely little benevolent character who, you know, she's obviously force sensitive and she claims to know the force and I believe her.
Yeah, that's actually one thing I want to ask you. I know I had heard you guys speaking about this as well. And she also says in the movie, basically, I know of the force. And that's what I want to ask you. You think you do feel like Maz has some kind of connection to the force then, correct?
Yes, there were parts cut from the movie, and I don't know if it was cut because they decided they didn't want to go down this road anymore, or if it was for time. But when the
or a surprise for later on,
or maybe they want to save. Yeah, maybe right. Maybe they want to save that for later. But there was the ambush or the assault on her castle. Apparently, there's a scene where stormtroopers actually get in, and she uses the force. Or her special powers, as it was called, to bring down the ceiling on these stormtroopers.
Wow.
So it stands to reason that Maz has force abilities.
And after my second viewing, too, and I kept looking at her place, the temple, or I say temple, but her bar slash hotel, whatever you want to call it, it looks like a temple almost.
Well, it's been there for 1,000 years, so anything that stands for 1,000 years takes on that look. You get that little patina that Father Time will leave on any structure after 1,000 years.
Nonetheless, I really don't think her character's a bad guy in any way, shape, or form. I think she's the sweet little, you said.
Well, no, she's the new Yoda.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at her.
She's this trilogy's Yoda, which is how I look at it.
I don't know what kind of extent. I hope she's back in the other movies. I don't know if anything's confirmed as of yet. But I would definitely like, I want some answers. Like, there needs to be some answers there.
And like I said, I think I've said this in one of the first podcasts, maybe even the first podcast. She's the character, or was the character, that I was really looking forward to hearing about in The Force Awakens, because she must have an absolute goldmine of lore and history that she could tell us.
Yeah, maybe some kind of expanded universe book.
Well, let's not call it Expanded Universe. Let's
That's another thing, too. I was thinking about that, too. I'm like, what are we going to call it? It's like the EU2?
No, it's just the timeline. It's just...
That's what it is now?
It's just all canon. It's all part of the same timeline. This is a separate theory from a different person, but Maz is actually a Jawa.
Yeah, that was a pretty good one, too. I read the link on that one, and it was kind of funny. I mean... I don't give any merit to it, but...
Well, how off your rocker do you have to be?
It's all so loosely connected.
She's small. She's got something going on with her eyeballs.
Again, I called the because her and Snoke happen to be old, I called that the laziest reach. But because she's short, so she must be a Jawa, that is the laziest reach.
Well, I don't know. Do we know anything in Star Wars lore of Jawa life expectancy?
I kind of see them as like the rats.
That's exactly how I was thinking about them when I read the article. You know, I'm like, Jawas are like the little rodents of the galaxy. You know, like...
Yeah, I mean, C-3PO calls them filthy creatures. They're kind of treated like rats, in at least in A New Hope. That's where we see the most of them. Yeah, I suppose they have some value in the galaxy. They're driving around with their sand crawlers selling droids, but...
One of the links I had read was because... I think you had read this as well, basically. They were saying that on Maz's castle, there was all these flags and banners and whatnot, and one of them had Anakin's pod racing flag, which loosely ties her to Tatooine, etc.
Well, it doesn't mean she went to Tatooine to get it. It could have somehow been brought to her. Like, I think a lot of that stuff is put there as Easter eggs for people to look at, and we may never know.
So that's how we get theories like this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to read it at all into how those flags got up there.
It'd be interesting. Like I said, this is an expanded lore timeline. I'd like a book on Maz Kanata eventually.
Oh, there's going to be one, for sure. Whether she gets a full novel to herself, or if she's a major player in a novel, or a comic book.
Or Yoda's part-time lover.
That would be weird. Let's not. An animated series. Maybe the next step after Rebels, we take a trip back in time. I don't know. Anyway, I don't want to get into that, but we don't know what they're going to plan for Maz Kanata. But for sure, she's going to be somebody that's going to reveal a whole lot to us as the years unfold.
I surely hope so. She's a great character.
Yeah, no doubt. She was super cool. I wish we had gotten more out of her in The Force Awakens, but I do agree with the reasons why she was cut. It made sense.
Yeah. On a bit of a tangent there, I wanted to kind of bring up something before I forget about. A couple of weeks ago, we found out that they were pushing the movies back the second.
Right.
And, you know.
Did that, like, devastate you?
No, not at all. Like, at first, I was kind of like, I felt a bit of disappointment. And then in the back of my mind, I was almost elated because I knew something was in the mix. Like, Disney's not going to do this for nothing. And there's a reason behind it. Like, if it's a rewrite, whatever it is, it's for the better of the script. And it kind of made me excited. I love the wait. Like, I love the anticipation. I think that's really a big part of Star Wars.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'll never forget the lead up from 2012 to 2015. I will never forget how that machine got rolling and the anticipation as it built through 2014 when we first saw the first trailer.
Yeah, it was unreal. And
2015 was one thing after another.
It was definitely a way of measuring years, that's for sure. Especially in both our lives, I would think, just because of everything that's happened.
Oh, sure. Yeah, no, the 2014, 2015 lead up to Force Awakens, I won't forget that. But we're not going to get that again. We're not going to get that Star Wars is coming back after a long, long, long wait. We're never going to have this type of thing again.
I still think that's up for debate, to be honest, but... That could be for a later podcast. I heard you guys talk about this as well. I would think you'd say, yes, that's maybe 5 years max. I kind of agree with that. 5 years is kind of they can afford to do it, but I would like them to put a good cap on it for at least 5 years. Maybe not 10 because I'm getting older faster.
No, well, I think
Disney does have a vault.
They're not using it for Star Wars. They didn't spend $4.3 billion to not pump these movies out as fast as what makes sense.
And well, I just hope they have a good understanding of... we don't want oversaturation in the market where it becomes not Star Wars anymore.
Well, that'll be dictated by how much they rake in at the box office. As long as they keep making hundreds of millions per movie, they're just going to keep doing it, regardless of what people say.
It's true.
And they'll hear it. I mean, if legions of fans, as dedicated as you and I and everybody listening to this, start saying, oh, Disney, please, just give us a couple years to breathe. They might do that.
I think they'll listen. I think that's it. Like I think they really want to make the fans happy.
Oh, of course they do. But they also want to make their shareholders happy.
And I don't think they're far off. I think by when all's said and done, I'm pretty sure with merchandising and whatnot, they've probably almost been close to making back their $4 billion already.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Well, they're at least halfway there. Let's say that.
Well, it costs too, right? It's not just all cash on the barrel.
Marketing and production costs. You're right.
But they, I mean, there's no doubt they're going to make back their money. And it's not going to take probably as long as they thought. But they will. I think they will for the episodic sagas. Like, we got confirmation a couple weeks ago from, I think it was Bob Iger, who said that, yeah, we're doing more Star Wars movies. There's going to be an episode 10. But we don't know how soon after episode 9 we're going to get 10. And I don't want to just keep going over this topic over and over, but I would think that they might give us a break in the episodic saga, and in the interim, just keep giving us the anthology movies.
I agree. Maybe not even. I would expect at least a 3-year hiatus.
With no Star Wars movies?
No, at least between the saga, possibly. You know, they'll probably just keep pumping those anthology movies out like crazy. I don't see that ending anytime soon.
Yeah, no, I can't ever see. I can't foresee any scenario in which a year goes by without some kind of Star Wars movie. Maybe a year and a half in a weird circumstance where the timing got screwed up or something needs a major rewrite, like we've just found out about episode 8. But there's not going to be any crazy long gaps of 4 or 5 years with no Star Wars. That's just not happening.
Yeah, not anytime soon, that's for sure.
Which works for me. I will take it. And did you catch the story? I don't know how up to date you are on all this stuff, but, and I actually don't know how serious this is, but episode 9, Colin Trevorrow, the director for episode 9, he actually wants to film some scenes in space.
Yeah, I did read that article. I thought it was very interesting.
Like, I don't know why you would actually want to go out there. What benefit can you actually get from filming in outer space? I don't know.
I think it would look cool. Yeah, I think it would look really cool. If anybody's going to do it, it's going to be Disney. And cool. Why not, you know? And what better movie to kind of...
Well, I get it. Yeah, I mean, Star Wars has always been that, or at least what originally was that pioneer of film, at least from the effects standpoint, and even the genre-bending standpoint.
What other space movie will ever have that kind of opportunity anytime soon?
Oh, probably not. I get what you're saying. I just don't understand why you're going to load all this film crew up into a shuttle and blast off into space and film what?
You're right.
I mean, I think they're probably just going to film plates and see like outer space scenery.
It is one of those things where, hey, look what we can do. And who knows?
I don't want to sound like I'm dumping on the idea. If they can do it and they can afford to do it, do it. But I would like to know what benefit there is to doing it.
How it benefits the story?
Absolutely, I'm curious. Although
I'm curious, that's it. We're talking about it, and I think it'd be really cool if anybody can afford to do it. It'd be Disney, and I don't want it to be a showing off kind of thing so much. I think that's what you're kind of trying to get at. Like, I don't want to be like, they don't want to seem condescending to.
Yeah, I don't want it to be a thing where that becomes a big talking point about the movie. They shot it in outer space. I can't wait to see that scene in outer space where whatever happens or whatever is supposed to happen in the movie. And then you see it and you're like, well, it looks like outer space. Like
you, true.
Well, outer we don't space know. That the scene you filmed in outer space looks like the scene you built in outer space in a computer. They look the same. I don't get the grandeur of it. And there we have it. Look at that. Peyton Manning. 2-time Super Bowl champ.
He did it.
Are we watching the last of Peyton right here?
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure this is it. I think he's going to leave on the high note. Why not? He wanted to... It looked like he was pretty close to retiring last year, so he threw his hat in the ring one more time, and I'm happy for the guy. Good for him.
Yeah, I'm thrilled for Peyton Manning. He totally deserves this. And if there's any Panthers fans out there, listen... There's no reason why the Panthers can't be right back in this spot next year. Cam Newton is an absolute animal.
And
That's probably the face of the league for the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah. I watched a guy play last weekend, and I thought he just seems like a genuinely nice guy, too.
Cam Newton?
Yeah.
Yeah, he seems like a super cool dude. I would be any sports market would be lucky to have this guy as the face of their franchise.
But I have to say, I'm pretty surprised. But I'm happy that, you know, Peyton, he's a hero. He can leave the game. He can.
Well, he deserves this, because if he had been 1-3 in Super Bowls, he'd never hear the end of it.
And now, you know, he's got a younger brother, so.
Well, yeah, he had to tie Eli. That would have been kind of annoying at family dinners for 30, 40 years from now, when Peyton, clearly the better quarterback. Sorry, Giants fans. The better quarterback in the family was Peyton, and he needed to at least get that second ring to tie Eli. And now he has it, and they can stack up their numbers next to each other, and Peyton will crush. So anyway, there we go. We're done with the football season. Let's go back to the GFFA. So yeah, the shooting the movie in outer space. Go for it. I don't get it, but hey, power to you if you want to do that.
Just don't brag about how much money it costs, but I am kind of curious at the cost and how it would benefit the story, like you said.
Don't brag about it, but tell me about it. I want to know, but don't brag about it.
Yeah, it's one of those things.
You want to humble brag then?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So are you reading any of the, not extraneous, but the extra material? Or have you read Aftermath? Are you reading the comics?
I've been reading some of the comics. They're really fun. I definitely like that. I have actually about $100 worth of Chapters gift cards. I'm definitely planning on getting a lot of them.
Yeah, I mean, so far they're all worth getting. Well, I guess your mileage may vary, but the ones I've read so far have been worth the money.
And what have you read so far?
I've read Aftermath. I've read all the comics except for the Lando series. And I will soon be opening, how's that one called? Before the Awakening, which I think probably is the most dense as far as nuggets that you can carry with you into the movie theater to help give you some backstory.
I've been getting kind of confused, to be honest. I've been going online a lot lately. I've been wanting to buy a lot of these books online. I figure it would be most convenient to go about it like that. And
you've never bought from Amazon or anything?
I have, but I'm going to go directly on the Chapters website to buy these things. I got the gift cards, right? So I'm reading all this stuff, and there's so much junior, like stuff that's canon, but it's all like
young adults. A lot of young adult novels, but they all count. Like Before the Awakening is a young adult novel.
Really?
Very. I mean, you can read that in a few hours flat.
I'm kind of intrigued. There's definitely a lot of storylines out there that I want to make the connection, because we're both into the expanded universe a bit, so I want to close that time gap a bit and see where it was really at.
They are going to slowly patch up any of these holes that, you know, I don't know how slowly they're going to do it.
Because they still need to write the movies, so they should probably give themselves some leeway there.
Well, yeah, I mean, they've got a whole story group now to kind of figure out what should be done when, or how it should be done, I guess I should say. But this week we got announcement of a new novel from Claudia Gray, who wrote Lost Stars, I believe, which was one of the other novels, which is probably worth getting. And it's pretty much about Leia and setting the scene, the political scene in the galaxy, how she became to mistrust the Republic. And I guess how they sort of came to view Leia as a bit of a nuisance.
Really?
With her resistance, which is something I think we needed to see a bit more of in The Force Awakens. So I'm glad that they're actually giving us a full-on novel to flesh that out with.
I don't know how much I like that storyline.
Well, it's going to be awesome.
I mean, it sounds great, but poor Leia, after everything she's put in there.
Well, it just, again, goes to show, which became obvious once you read the synopsis of Aftermath. And knowing what you knew about The Force Awakens, you knew that the 30-year gap between Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens was not a good time. they may have had a couple good years, but it's pretty obvious that our heroes did not live happily ever after by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, it's just kind of sad to think about it when you really sit down and think about it.
Well, if they did, we wouldn't be getting a new movie. None of this would be happening if...
Well, you could have given them maybe a good 10, 15 years.
Well, I guess there's any way they could have written it, but...
There should have been peace for a bit, anyhow.
Why would you... If there was peace for 15 years, you can't write about and sell books and comics and whatnot about peace. Nobody wants to read about, how nice was that trip we took to the vacation moon of blankety blank and had such a wonderful time. Nobody wants to know about that. People want to know about the conflict and the battles. And
That's one thing I want. We'd spoken about this once before. It's kind of another tangent a bit about the New Republic. In The Force Awakens, basically, the Republic's destroyed, right?
Well, yeah, the Republic is trashed.
Now, is that going to be a scapegoat for them to write and say, hey, like, you know, it's just the Force First Order now versus the Resistance, kind of? Or, like, because I'd kind of be stupid to believe that a galactic government would put all their eggs in one basket kind of deal in one system and be like, hey, we're here and that's all we need to
be. No, I think, well, look, it's not like in this new era of the Republic, they had decided that they're going to move the Senate from planet to planet so that not one system gathered too much power or whatever reasoning they had. But they moved it around is the takeaway. It's not like Coruscant suddenly is a dust bowl where there's nobody there. It's that's still there. So yes, they annihilated the Republic and they probably destroyed whatever percentage of its fleet and its people.
But do you think we're going to hear about them again? Like, is it over for the Republic and it's just basically Resistance versus...
No. There's still going to be some form of Republic, just badly weakened. And the First Order probably rises a little bit more to rival them. Yeah, there's going to be more of the Republic. I'm sure of it. Like you said, you don't put all your eggs in one basket. The President and Vice President of the United States never travel together.
Let's hope not, anyhow.
Besides... somebody's going to have the muscle. Like the Resistance, I don't think, are a very powerful group at this point.
No, it really doesn't seem that way.
I don't know if we saw all they had to offer. Because if you watched A New Hope and thought that whatever group you saw on Yavin 4 was all that the Rebellion was, you'd be wrong. So I wonder if there's more to the Resistance.
I would think there is.
We see. I think there probably is, and there will be. Otherwise, you've got a little tiny ragtag group against this First Order thing, which puts you right back at square one from the original trilogy. So I think there's going to be... I think that is a possibility, to be quite honest, but I think there is still a standing Republic. Just now, one that, like I said, is weakened, but now is fully aware of the First Order and what they're capable of.
Yeah, I think they kind of went tit for tat in that one. Their system got destroyed. We destroyed Starkiller.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see their next, or I guess whatever they have next in store for the galaxy. Had you heard? I guess we're gonna talk a lot about Rebels. Actually, but you know, before that, have you ever tried any of the Lego video games, be it Star Wars or Batman or Indiana Jones?
You know, sadly, no. But I can see them being fun. Just seeing it in my head, you know, I can see them being
they're
fun.
They're so fun. It's ridiculous how fun they are. Like, they're so addictive. They're just so... it's the ultimate game to just put on and just tool around with your remote. And if you play it for 20 minutes, half an hour, guaranteed whatever you were pissed off about before, you're not mad about anymore.
Everything is awesome.
Nicely done. Yes. In a manner of speaking, yeah. So I haven't played a video game in, I'm going on 3 years now. I'm going on 4 years. I haven't played an actual console video game, which is sad and pathetic. But I really do want to try and break that malaise so I can try the Force Awakens Lego game. Did you see the trailer?
I sadly missed it. I caught the link, but you know, I didn't hit the link.
You need to check that out. It's basically the Force Awakens trailer set to Lego, but they throw in some of their
quirky quips. And...
yeah, the quirkiness and the Lego humor that you've come to know. It's hilarious. It looks like it's going to be so much fun. I don't know the release date of it. It's later this year. And it's probably not... well, I don't even know if they do PS3 games anymore. So if I want to play it, it means I probably have to get a PS4, which I'm not looking forward to. Because I frankly don't need it, but it looks like they're gonna strong arm me at some point. Because at some point, they're also going to come out with new Star Wars games aside from Battlefront that I will not be able to resist. I almost cracked and bought a PS4 so I could do Battlefront.
Actually, I played it at one of our mutual friends' house the other day, and yeah, I was I enjoyed it, but not much more than that, to be honest. I was looking for a lot more. Like, I really love a good space mission, you know, flying an X-Wing around, and I found it was very, I don't know, there could have been a few more controls, basically, but there's so much going on in the game that I can't really blame them. Like, the platform is just massive.
Well, I think the goal of this game was just to get people warmed up for Star Wars again. And from what I've seen and heard, the look and feel of the game is phenomenal as far as sound and effects go. But that's great. I mean, fine. That was not what's going to pull me in, because as soon as I found out there was no mission mode, that it's all sort of multiplayer type missions, because I'm not a multiplayer guy by any stretch. I hate it. I can't stand it. So as soon as I found out there was no actual mission mode, that was it for me. I'm done. I was out.
Yeah, there's just... what I had done was there was basically some training missions that are solo, and that's pretty much the extent of it.
Yeah, so I'll wait to see what else comes down the pike as far as Star Wars games go before I make the $500 or $600 plunge into a PS4.
Would you be hoping for maybe another little tidbit of information from the Force Awakens Lego video game? Do you think they might drop a little nugget in there somewhere?
I'm sure they would. Nothing major. They're not gonna reveal Rey's father or who really is Snoke.
They're maybe not gonna do that. Scene with Maz, though.
I don't think so. It won't be anything earth shattering. All that stuff will get saved for the screen, and you know, whether it's the big screen or small screen or a novel or a comic. I don't think they'll reveal much in a video game. Never know. I suppose they could, but I don't think they would do it in a video game for a game that's already, or for a movie that's already been released.
No, it makes sense.
That's my take. Feel free to disagree. You know, we've been ignoring Rebels a little bit on this show, and I want to try to rectify that just a bit. And I think also on the note of ignoring and rectifying, there's been a big rumor flying around. And I think the guys at MakingStarWars.net may have been the first to have it. If not, I apologize to whoever did have it, but that's where I read the rumor. That Grand Admiral Thrawn is going to make an appearance in Rebels.
I did hear about that, and that would be pretty interesting.
That would be really cool. I mean, I turned my back on the Expanded Universe as soon as I learned about the character death in Vector Prime, which was some, I don't know, 98, 99, somewhere around the time of Phantom Menace. I closed that chapter of my life. I never went back to the EU. And I think I don't know if you have all our books from when we were kids.
I do, actually. I still do. I have, they're all boxed up.
Yeah, I don't care to ever read them again. I read them voraciously as a kid. And of course, I started with that Thrawn trilogy. I can't even remember what it's called anymore.
It's Heir to the Empire.
No? Maybe it is, but written by Kevin J. Anderson. I believe that's who it was, anyway.
It was Timothy Zahn, no?
Yeah, no, you're right. Timothy Zahn, that's right. I stand corrected. I enjoyed those books immensely. And there were some hits and misses. But for the most part, I did enjoy the Expanded Universe until Vector Prime. But of course, one of the most enduring characters from the Expanded Universe, you've got Mara Jade, you've got the Solo twins, the third Anakin kid, but also is Grand Admiral Thrawn, the guy who sort of pulls the Empire back together in the days after the Empire's defeat after Return of the Jedi. And he was a great villain. He was super.
But he's more, more importantly to me, it kind of, it's like, you know, if they do it, it basically tells the fans that, you know, nothing's really out of the question, you know, like they can pick and choose whatever they please.
Well, yeah, that's what they said years ago now when they told us that the expanded universe was being relegated to Legends and that the everything in the timeline had been wiped out save for what was already established in the movies, Clone Wars, Rebels. That was it, really. Everything else was being... They were keeping it, but it didn't count. And that made a lot of people really angry. But they said, listen, we'll still pick and choose if it makes sense to pull things out of the expanding universe and roll them back into the new official timeline.
Yeah, why not? I have to say, when we first got the news of The Force Awakens, I was convinced that there were going to be Solo twins or Skywalker Solo.
Oh, I think everybody was. Especially when you started seeing the casting news and you saw Daisy Ridley and Adam Driver, and naturally everybody said these are the Solo twins.
But even before that, when you had the casting call went out, you saw what kind of people they were looking for to fill the roles.
Yeah, I mean, everybody immediately went to the Solo twins. That was a natural reaction. I wouldn't blame anybody who went down that road. And look, no, never mind. I'm not going to say it. Not going to say it. But Thrawn's return in Rebels. I would totally embrace that. I think that'd be super cool.
Definitely. Definitely. I mean, it's kind of odd in the sense that, you know, we have Kallus already, but maybe, who knows, maybe his time's coming to an end. And
well, it should be. I mean, this guy's he's
pretty much
he's terrible. He's awful. He's bad at his job.
He's surrounded by incompetence, is more like I would find, because he can hold himself in a fight, and he's got some brains. He always just kind of...
Well, he's always a little bit too slow.
Yeah.
He's always...
But he's up against Jedi, so...
Okay, fine. Well, half Jedi.
True.
He can never quite catch up to these guys, and we saw what happened to... Oh, who were those Imperial grunts at the beginning? That,
yeah, I remember the two. It was
the Inquisitor that just murdered them.
Lopped their heads off, yeah.
Aresco and Grint. Those were the two guys. So those two guys died for much lesser sins than what Kallus has done. And Kallus has done nothing. He's accomplished nothing. Except for chase these guys around and spend a lot of the Empire's money.
Well, he's the one I'm sure that's putting the pieces together. Keeping the trail hot, at least, you know.
Oh, I'm sure he's got a nice, big, thick report book that he keeps sending up the chain to his whoever he reports to.
I love the last episode, though, when he had the call retreat.
Yeah, he just is saying, I'm not going to that black hole. Let them go.
That was a wicked scene.
Yeah, I did a flip-flop on that episode. Anybody who may have read my quick little review of that episode, I hoped to make that clear, because when I first watched it, I don't know if I'm too amped up to get to the meat of this season, that I have very minimal patience for the stuff that's been coming.
Yeah, you have to unleash your inner Jedi.
I guess so, because yeah, I was just like, ugh.
I was totally okay with it. I mean, think about it though, it's the mid-season, we had the mid-season break. Then the first episode in, we kind of got settled in with the group again. Say Leia led the mission. We, you know, we got comfortable with everyone. Just the ghost. We kind of just got to get to know the ghost crew again. Second episode, we start getting the sideline stories of the smaller characters. And, you know, we got a lot of episodes left to go in this season.
No, it's true. There's still...
Like, there's no rush.
There's still another 9 episodes to go, I think, or at least 8. 8 or 9 episodes to go in the season. That's a lot of ground to cover.
And a lot's been done so far, too. These 3 episodes, you may not think it, but, I mean, we're going to see Fen Rao again, the Protector of Concord Dawn. We'll see him again. He's bound to be in another episode this summer, and he's probably going to bite the dust.
Well, right. There's been character introductions. You talked about Fen Rao, and we talked about Leia coming in, but she's not coming back this season. That's it for her.
I'm okay with that.
But... These 3 episodes, overall, what has happened?
Well, we kind of, the big thing for me really is what happened with Zeb in the last episode. And basically how he tapped into the Force and what that can mean to other storylines.
Yeah, I suppose. The biggest takeaway that I've now looked or extracted from the last three episodes, and I guess extrapolating further ahead, because to me, I was just looking at Princess on Lothal, Protector of Concord Dawn, and this week's Legends of the Lasat. And I didn't see much advancement of the overall narrative. I just saw, like, I don't want to call them filler. I think that's a little bit insulting. But I didn't think much had happened overall. But now I'm starting to see. I had a brief conversation on Twitter with somebody that got me thinking in a different light that, you know, Rebels, or Star Wars fans, I should say, are hung up on this idea that all of the characters in Rebels have to die because they don't show up. But I think what we're starting to see is the team at Lucasfilm writing possible avenues for these characters to leave the show without actually dying. So, for example, in Legends of the Lasat, we see Zeb find this new planet of his people on the other side of this weirdo nebula type place that destroys
an imploded tears star.
Apart an imploded star that tears apart ships with its gravity, but Zeb knows how to get through it with his, is it Force ability? Looked like it.
Yeah, he was actually using, his bow staff was used in a saber-ish way.
Sure, whatever it was, Zeb can get through it. So you can easily see a day where instead of dying in Rebels like everybody thinks, no, he's going to go back to that planet. And it's so out of the way that it makes, it's very believable that he could go there and not be a part of the events of the original trilogy because he's so far out of harm's way, or out of the, I don't know how to phrase it, but he's just so far out of the picture that, yeah you can believe that.
He's in uncharted space. He's past the Outer Rim.
And they're really the only ones that really know how to chart that territory now.
And also another, I know, I see what you're saying. I agree with you 100% as well. They're starting to write outs for these guys, possibly. Some of them are probably going to end up dying. But I heard another one in the Protector of Concord Dawn, which kind of made me think twice a bit for a second. I don't know if you remember, Hera obviously has a bit of an accident. At the end of the episode, though, Sabine, you know, she really came through. Kanan was able to trust her. And anyhow, Hera was happy. Everybody's happy. And Sabine looks at Hera and says, well, my parents taught me well. But she's talking about Kanan and Hera,
of course,
as being her parents.
Right.
So you could see all three of them being written out kind of together if need be, or at least Hera and Sabine staying together.
Well, the way I was seeing is that Sabine, along with whatever's going on Concord Dawn, maybe she returns there. Or
maybe she becomes the protector of Concord Dawn.
Maybe. Or perhaps we met her friend a few weeks ago, or before the break, I forget what her name, Ketsu.
Yeah, the bounty hunter.
The bounty hunter. So maybe she returns to the life of a bounty hunter with her pal. So there's a couple possible outs for Sabine. We know that Cham Syndulla is going to return. Now, we don't know what's going to happen to him, but maybe Hera decides to go back to Ryloth to help rebuild after what's going on there.
I see that story arc more ending with her father in tragedy.
Oh, maybe he comes to a bad end and she decides to go back to Ryloth and continue what he was doing there.
He's the perfect character for lack of better words, to die in order to further Hera's character and the storyline, possibly.
Yeah, sure.
And give her out. She says, hey, look, I gotta go back to my home planet to take over. My dad.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to imagine at this point because she seems so dedicated to whatever this growing rebellion is to her. She seems to be 100% in. So whatever happens would have to be significant enough for her to pull out of it. Like you can't imagine her just giving up one day, deciding she doesn't want to do it anymore. Something has to happen to make her want to leave.
Correct.
And I guess losing a father would do that.
she's definitely the matriarch of this
Rebels family. Yeah, she's Captain Syndulla. Who else is captain? As far as the crew goes, it's her gig. It's her show. Yeah, Kanan and her split the leadership duties, but I think it's
she's definitely the mother figure.
When I think of the group, I think of Hera as the brains. And Kanan is sort of the battlefield leader. He'll call the shots when they're actually down there, but Hera's the one with the bigger view. Now, if Hera did leave to go back to Ryloth, I can see Kanan hanging it up and going with her. He's abandoned the life of a Jedi once before.
It's possible.
He could do it again.
It's scary. I'm so scared about all this. I don't even want to know what's going to happen almost.
Yeah, and I think the only certainty is that we're going to lose Ahsoka. I think that's a virtual certainty. I don't see any out for her. I think she's got to be wrapped up.
Yeah, I agree. I just...
Which is sad because she's the one I least want to lose. I'd rather... You could kill anybody else before Ahsoka. But I think she's the one that's most really? Going to pay the price.
Because she's... In my opinion, she kind of just tagged along on this series. They're just... Disney's just tying loose ends because of how badly they... Kind of.
Well, because of how quickly they had to pull the plug with...
Clone Wars, yeah.
Right. You're totally. And that's why they haven't focused a whole lot on her, because I would totally be fine if they let Ahsoka overshadow the show. I wouldn't say two words. But they can't do that. It's Ezra's story. But I don't know. I can't see a happy ending for Ahsoka here. I would be more than happy to be proven wrong.
You're right. I really don't either. I see her really being challenged as well with Anakin/Vader, being even possibly tempted.
Right, because we don't know in the Star Wars universe, the original trilogy era, how many people know Vader's secret of who he really is. Palpatine?
Kenobi.
Kenobi, who's gone, who is quote-unquote dead. I'm not even sure if Tarkin knew.
Yeah, it's possible.
So, if you can't, I don't think you can have Ahsoka running around the galaxy with that secret. So I think she's toast, as much as I don't want her to be. And if anybody out there feels differently, if you think there's a way that Ahsoka can actually be written out of the show in a convincing, satisfying manner that makes sense, please, please let me know. Visit the Facebook page. Let me know there. Send me a note on Twitter. 140 characters won't take very long. Just help me out, because I keep trying to find a way for myself to believe that Ahsoka can live, and I keep hitting dead ends.
Yeah, I really... sorry, bro. I just don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. And I don't want to have to explain to my daughter why I can't let her see this week's episode and why she's never going to see Ahsoka again.
I think hopefully they'll do it in a way that, children like my niece, your daughter, are going to say, hey, she was still a hero. She went out in a blaze of glory. She did the right thing. Like, I think I'd had this conversation with you before as well, in the sense that I really think when she goes out, she's going to really have the last laugh. And in her death, she's going to be like, she's going to have attained her goal. Whatever she's trying to accomplish at that given time, I think, let it be Kanan and Ezra escaping. Whatever it's going to be.
Well, it won't be cheap. It won't be for nothing. But anyway, you can go visit episode 6 if you want to go back to our predictions for Rebels season 2 predictions. But I guess we can start to bring this all back. Do you have any further notes on Rebels before we start to wrap this baby up?
No, not really. I mean, I just want to say that Rebels, again, it rocks. I can't wait to see what's coming. There's a lot still to look forward to. I still think we have, for lack of a better word again, a few more filler episodes on the way.
Well, this week's upcoming one, I think it's called The Call. And there's space whales. And that is going to be cool. We saw them in the trailer.
That was one of my favorite things about the trailer. The visual on that was just too cool.
Yeah, no, this week's looks like it's going to be a really cool episode. And at least it looks like it's more of a team thing as opposed to an individual focus.
One thing about last week's episode I want to kind of throw in there as well is just the music and the visuals. Like, it almost reminded me of Van Gogh's Starry Night. I believe it's Van Gogh, right?
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Yes. Van Gogh's Starry Night. You're right. No, that was the one thing.
And some of the shots of the ghost as well. Like, I'd never seen it in that light before. Like, the lighting on it was just perfect. And the music, I have to say, the violin, like, I was, like, super, like, I was into it. I was like...
No, that was almost the highlight of the show.
Yeah, when they get, like, it sucked me in as they got sucked into the anomaly, as it were.
Yeah, no, that was absolutely the highlight of the show for me. There's no question. And, you know, when I look around Twitter as these shows are happening, and I like to follow along what people are saying, and that was a common thing, that people were just blown away by Kevin Kiner's work on that show. And people complain about this guy, and I don't get it. I think he does great work, taking what John Williams had done and putting a rebel spin to it. It's perfect.
It is.
And that work, like you said, like the scene at the inverted or the imploded star, that was standout material. That's him, Kevin Kiner, hitting his absolute peak. I hope it's not his peak. I hope we get more
of that
great stuff material, like that.
Yeah, sure. Which is great.
So we're gonna tie it all together here with this last topic, and I don't think anybody has a concrete answer one way or the other. But as we know, Benicio del Toro is in episode 8 in an unknown capacity, though he's kind of hinted that he's going to be a villain. And now people are starting to look at Rebels, at the trailer, and projecting that Ezra is going to turn evil. And I can see that happening. I can see Ezra doing a flip to the bad side at some point, and that being a springboard for Kanan to either walk away with Hera, kind of give up in the same way that Luke gave up, or it's the end of the road for Kanan where he actually dies. But now people are starting to put together the idea that Benicio del Toro is actually Ezra.
I don't really give it any credence, to be honest.
I shoot down 98% of these theories. This one I'm not totally prepared to shoot down. I think at the end of the day, I don't believe it. But I will listen. I'm not going to just say... I didn't put this one in Stupid Fan Theory of the Week for a reason. I think this one might have something to it. The time makes sense.
His age makes sense, yes.
I don't know if we could say that
his voice doesn't make
sense. No, sure. Del Toro definitely has an accent that Ezra doesn't. So I don't know if I don't know how they would work around that.
I really don't. Even just in regards to Ezra turning, if he turns, he can still come back. Like, he will come back. I really don't see him being any kind of bad guy, Snoke, whoever it is.
Ezra Snoke, that one had some legs too for a while. Which that one I will shoot down.
It makes sense. There's not much else to speculate on right now, you know?
Running. Exactly. There's nothing really. There's small, tiny visual things here and there to kind of hook your theory to.
But we get two guys running around with lightsabers that, prior to this, we thought there were no more Jedi at all. What's going to happen to these guys? It's got to be connected to The Force Awakens in so many people's eyes, you know?
Well, I think they are somehow going to connect something somewhere from Rebels to the new era. I think they're going to do that.
Hopefully that's going to be Rogue One, in my opinion. It makes the most sense. I mean, we've already discussed this, but...
Maybe. It's really hard to say, but I think something is going to come out of the animated series that is going to be directly related to a movie, an episode, like episode 8.
The saga?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think it's at some point there's going to be a connection.
That's a bold leap. I have not made that assumption, and I have not made the connection yet.
I don't know what it is either.
That'd be really cool, though. I mean,
but I think something has got to come out of this. There has to be a takeaway out of this show.
I really hope so. And I hope it has to pertain to the saga.
And it could be, like you said, it could be Rebels tying into Rogue One. That makes too much sense because of the timeline that they play in there.
Well, it would also make their lives and, you know, if any of them had to go out dying and fighting, it would be worth it to say, hey, like, Death Star plans, pretty important stuff here.
Yeah, again, it's still too soon to say. We've gotten a taste of what's coming in for episode or for season two with Rebels, but and none of it has to do with material that's going to be covered in Rogue One.
Nonetheless, I really think that the best is yet to come. This I can't wait. And you said I think they're confirmed for season three as well, right?
I'm not sure if it's confirmed, but they're not going to just leave it hanging like that. There's going to be a third season. How long it is, we don't know. Disney's going to get hungry at some point to want to do a show that takes place in the sequel trilogy era, I think.
Yeah, if they can make something happen there, why not?
And you know, animated shows, when you really look at it, they only have, you know, a 3 to 4 year shelf life tops.
True.
I mean, aside from Looney Tunes or The Simpsons, which are, you know, kind of aimed at different folks, any animated series now, just like, look at all the Transformers series that have come out in recent years. In
yeah, that's ridiculous. That's
20 years. Ridiculous. They go on a 2 to 5, yeah. 6 seasons.
I'm so confused with that. I feel so old because of that. Like, I look at them, like, how many? There's like 5 different shows, like, that have come out. They 5, 6, 7. I don't even know anymore. Like,
they keep spinning out one show after another. And it's not because they decide that suddenly the show is crap. It's because you're pitching these shows and these toys to a very specific demographic, which is generally boys from 7 to 11 or 12 years old. Once you age out of that group, you've got to reload the gun with a different series and refocus back on the new group of 7 to 12 year old boys. So that's why these shows just aren't.
Well, all I know is I'm just glad we got to see the best series of
Transformers. Well, nobody's going to argue that. The G1 Transformers stuff is. Well, actually, you know what? If you watch it, it is.
It's horrible.
It's horrible. It's painful to watch.
But it's still fun. I love it.
Yeah, no, there's a certain nostalgia to that. Same with all these other shows like G.I. Joe and Voltron, Mask. And with that, I think we're going to draw the show to a close for this week. Episode 10 is about to come to an end. And I want to thank you for stopping by and pitching in this week.
Yeah, it was great. I had a lot of fun. And do it again anytime, man.
Cool. I'm glad to have you back at some point again in the future. And thanks again for listening, everybody. If you want to get in touch with the show, please join us on the Facebook page. We'd love to have you there. And look... Both my brother and I, we've grown up talking Star Wars, and we've been talking to almost exclusively each other about it for years and years. So we'd love to have you show up on the Facebook page and join in as well. If you've had a similar upbringing with Star Wars, please come by. Talk about whatever you want to talk about. That's what we're there for. And you can also find me on Twitter. And actually, I think Corey just jumped on the old Twitter machine as well.
Yeah, I haven't really made any tweets or anything. I think I said my first ever tweet was something against at Return of Kings.
Oh, yeah. Let's not talk about those.
Yeah.
Those guys. But, they don't deserve the attention.
No, not at all. And yeah, I have to say, like, I'm not a very big social media guy, but I would love to hear from anyone, and I can discuss anything at any time in regards to this show or Star Wars.
Great. So I think you're at Chop Rules. C-H-O-P... R-U-L-Z, Chop Rules, is that it?
You got it.
And you can always find me at Tumbling Saber. And you can also drop me a line, kyle@tumblingsaber.com. And I will definitely get back to you quickly on that. So, oh, and also, please don't forget, subscribe in iTunes and leave us a review. That is the best way to help the show grow. A good review on iTunes really puts the show in front of new listeners, and we would really appreciate it if you could just take a couple seconds and say something nice about the show if you've enjoyed what you heard here. And with that, folks, thanks a lot for listening. And we'll be back next week with the fresh batch of topics to talk about. And until then, have yourselves a good week, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye for now.